praises to the King, for he is the King of Kings. We're singing praises to the King, for he is the King.
Sing it with us, with us.
We're singing praises to the King, for he is the King of Kings. We're singing praises to the King, for he is the
Give
King.
Him glory.
Give him glory.
Come on, sing it with
for
us.
He is the King.
Give him
glory. For he is the King.
Give him
glory. For he is the King. Give him glory. For he is the King.
We sing.
We sing praises to the King. For he is the King of Kings. We're singing praises to our King. For he is the King. We're singing praises to our King, for he is the King of Kings. We're singing praises to our King, for he is
Give
the King.
Give him glory.
Give him glory, for he is the King. Give him glory, for he is the King.
Give
him glory, for he is the King. Give him glory, for he is the King.
We sing.
We're singing praises to our King. For he is the King of Kings. We're singing praises to our King. For he is the King. We're singing praises to our King. For he is the King of Kings. Singing praises to our King. For he is the King.
Give him
glory.
He deserves all the glory.
For he is the King.
Give him glory.
Yes, he does. For he is the King.
Give him glory.
For he is the King. For he is the King.
We sing.
We sing praises
oh,
to
you
the
gotta
king.
Watch
For
now.
He is the King of Kings. We sing praises to the King. For he is the
All
King.
Hail King Jesus.
All hail King Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus, do it again.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else.
Jesus.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Worship His
His holy name.
Come on.
Sing like never before.
Oh,
oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name.
Oh, Lord.
I'll worship your holy name.
Worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
So, oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing my name.
Oh, my soul.
I worship your holy name. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Seems like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your
great God, our Father, we thank you just for the privilege of worship. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Yes, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are the great God.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
The great King above all the earth. And we worship you. Thank you, Father, for holding us. Keeping us. Giving us strength. Search us, O God. You know us. See if there be any hurtful ways in us. Remove it from your presence. Thank you for being a good God. Thank you for your great compassion. Thank you for your limitless forgiveness. For me. Thank you for where you brought us from and for where you're taking us to. Home to be with you. Father, we're glad that this world is not our home. Yet we're thankful that you're with us as we journey, making our way to you. We're grateful for your healing power. All because of Jesus. Death, it's resurrection. Power of his blood to wash us, cleanse us, make us whole. We're thankful that you do for us what we can't do for ourselves and what nobody else can do. Thank you that you know our hearts. You know what's in us. You know what pains us. And oh, what a God you are, because you know how to heal us and fix us up. Thank you that you've given us all that we need for life, for godliness in Christ. Forgive us for looking elsewhere. Lord, we find our meaning, our hope, our reason for being here in you and you alone. And we give you the praise for being so patient with us. Thank you, Jesus. Waiting for us to come home to you. Lord, you be exalted. You enable me to stand. You give me strength for these moments in time. Pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know where they are. And you alone are able to meet their needs. But you do. meet their needs. As we cry out to you, Lord, bind us together. Guard us from the evil one, his desire to steal, kill, and destroy. Lord, you're the God that builds up. Build us up today and help us, and use us to build up one another. We thank you for that great privilege. We stand before your throne of grace. Thank you for being able to be in community with my brothers and sisters. Thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do. For I know, great God, that you're not finished with us yet. And we praise you for that. May Jesus indeed be at the center of it all. In his precious, righteous, and holy name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to, we read it last week, but I'll read it again. I'm just going to read verse 32, Ephesians chapter 4. It's our focal verse, but we have other verses that we'll refer to, quite a few today. Ephesians 4, 32. After a while, we should be able to quote it by heart. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Amen. Amen. We're talking about radical forgiveness. There's three parts to this message. We started last week, gave some foundational points, kind of laid the groundwork. Think about this whole idea that God has put forth in his word about forgiveness. Today we want to continue, and tomorrow, the Lord willing, and Jesus doesn't come back before then, we'll finish up about 6 or 7 weeks ago. The Lord put it on my mind about speaking on forgiveness. I set it aside, but you know how God is. When he wants you to do something, when he wants you to talk about something, at least with me, he won't let me get away from it. So I wrestled with that thing over those weeks, and here I stand by the grace of God. Radical forgiveness. And we said last week, and we'll reiterate this week, that radical forgiveness, when something is radical, it's beyond ordinary. It's extreme. It's supernatural. It's beyond our human capacity to enact and even to receive without God's help. You can't receive God's forgiveness, and I can't receive God's forgiveness without him helping us to receive that forgiveness. We don't even understand his forgiveness. without him helping us to understand his forgiveness. Because we define forgiveness on our terms, not on God's terms. But he wants us to understand forgiveness on his terms. On his terms. And we need it. We need the forgiveness of God. And we need to extend the forgiveness of God to others. And we need to receive for ourselves that forgiveness. Why? Because there's much brokenness in relationships in the world, isn't there? You don't have to listen too long to the TV or read the tweets. Get on Facebook. To understand that there's a lot of brokenness in our world because of the lack of forgiveness or the lack of repentance. But God has a way, and he's made a way for us to be built up, get back in right relationship with him, and for us to build up one another through forgiveness. And that's what we want. That's our objective, is to experience the forgiveness given to us by Father God through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and to forgive others in the same way that we have been forgiven by our Heavenly Father. First thing today I'll say is that radical forgiveness is two-sided. It's two-sided. The text says that, our focal text, Ephesians 4:32, forgive one another, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiveness is two-sided. You can't have one without the other. You have divine forgiveness, and you have human forgiveness. Two sides of the same coin, but for the follower of Christ, they are inextricably connected to one another. They cannot be separated. Cannot be separated. Forgiveness is, first of all, an act of God. Forgiveness is an act of God. It is the first act of God. It is first, an act of God, because it was God himself who was first, the first, to be offended. You ever think about that? Yeah, the Lord made me think about that this week. Where did it come from? What's the origin of it? Well, God was offended. God is the creator of forgiveness and the initial forgiver, because he was originally sinned against in the garden by Adam and Eve when they disobeyed him. And God forgave them. He covered their sin. He had already made a way. But we want to have that etched in our minds, that the foundation, the core, the beginning of forgiveness is God himself. Because he was offended in that garden, but also, as we'll say, he was offended by us as well, you and by me. God was offended. What is forgiveness? Well, to be forgiven by God means that we are pardoned by him. We are pardoned by God for the debt that we owed him for our sin. God pardons us. When you're talking about being forgiven by God, you're talking about him granting a pardon because we sinned against him. We owe God obedience. Why is that? Because he's the creator. It's his world. He set the rules. He said, this is it. This is the way it is. In love, though, he did that. not as a mean dictator, but as a benevolent God. As the scripture tells us, a God who is kind and compassionate. We owe God obedience, but we don't obey him perfectly, do we? No, I don't. We owe him love, but we don't love him like we should. We owe him worship, but our worship is often self-centered. Or we faking it. We owe him thanksgiving and service, but we often fall short. We often fall short. We owe him our very lives. We wouldn't be here if he didn't allow us to be born by our parents. But we often don't think about him, except when we come to a place like this or gather with other Christians, people who claim to know God, or when we are in trouble, that's when we think about him and call out to him for help. That's often when we think about him. You know, the reality is that we don't measure up. We live our lives for ourselves instead of for God as he created us to be. And that's an offense to God in and of itself. Yes, we are guilty of offending God, just like Adam and Eve. We're no different than they are. If Sister Banks and I would have been there, we would have done the same thing. And we deserve punishment. We do. We're deserving of punishment according to God. God would be justified in punishing us. He would be right to condemn us to an eternity in hell. And there would be nothing we could say about it. But, you know, with God, when we see the bad, there's always a but. Always. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. Gotta stump my foot on that one. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we got it all together. And demonstrates continues. We wonder whether God loves us. Yeah, he does. Right here, Romans 5:8. He keeps on demonstrating his love for us. We go back to the cross. We go back to the cross. He demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Revelation 1:5 says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins. How is that? By his love. By his blood. He has freed us by his death on a cross. Yeah, God would be justified, but he demonstrates his love. He's forgiven us because of what Christ has done. And that's the core of the lesson for us is that radical forgiveness, which is God's forgiveness, is out of the ordinary, it's extreme, it's supernatural. Radical forgiveness requires sacrifice. You can't have forgiveness without sacrifice. Can't have forgiveness without sacrifice. And sacrifice means that you give up, something is given up for the sake of something else. Something is given up for the sake of something else. Divine forgiveness is radical because of the extreme sacrifice that God the Father made for us so that we can experience his forgiveness. And his sacrifice was to give up God the Son in our place. That's what we need to think about when we think about God's forgiveness, is that God sacrificed. He gave up something. We are not forgiven just because God felt sorry for us. We are forgiven because a sacrifice was made. We are sinners, but God is the great lover of our lives, and he was willing to give up his son to show that he loves us. He sacrificed. We offended God. We offended God, and we still offend God. I don't think some people have come to grips. And you know, I don't think that we can understand the depth and the breadth of the forgiveness of God and the magnitude of his love if we don't see how big of a sinner we are. Just can't do it. You can't do it. We offend God, but God gave up anger. He gave up bitterness. He gave up wrath. He gave up resentment towards us. And he poured it all out on Jesus on that cross. That's where it happened. That's what happened. He gave up wrath, resentment. He took it out on Jesus. Took it out on Jesus instead of taking it out on us. And he did that for the forgiveness of our sin, even before we repented of our sin. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, it doesn't become actualized, and we don't realize it unless we repent. But he did it. It's available to everybody, to everyone. We owe God. We owe him. But he paid the sin debt through Christ on the cross. Now, I know you know this, but I hope we come to grips with it more. Because if we do, we can transfer that forgiveness of God to our relationships with other people. Because I don't think we get there unless we do understand divine forgiveness. Because divine forgiveness was demonstrated through the great love and mercy of God in Jesus on the cross. And it is an extreme measure for a holy God to forgive a sinful people by becoming the sacrifice for our sins himself. That's the message of the cross. That's the core of the gospel. Jesus, life lesson, Jesus is the reason we are forgiven. We want to hold on to that. Then when we talk about being forgiven by God, when we ask, Lord, why does God forgive me? It's because of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Isn't that something? God the Father made God the Son to become the sin offering for us on the cross. That's what happened. He took your place and he took my place. And as I've said before, instead of pouring out his wrath, his resentment, his anger, his bitterness, his eternal punishment, instead of pouring it out on us, God the Father poured it out on God the Son on the cross. God made him who knew no sin to become sin, or to become a sin offering for us. That's the core of the gospel. That it was Jesus instead of us. Jesus at the center of it all. We sing that song, what's that all about? That's all about what he did on the cross. That's where it started. Jesus paid the debt, sin debt that we owe the Father. God the Father is completely satisfied with what Jesus Christ has done. He was punished in our place. And again, I got to say it one more time before I move on. The anger, the wrath, the resentment, the bitterness, the separation, the pain, and the anguish that comes when someone is offended was poured out from Father God onto Jesus, God the Son, when he hung on that cross. Jesus is the reason for our forgiveness. Think about that. Some of us think that God is mad at us, that he's angry. God hates sin. We better know it. He hates sin. But he doesn't hate you. You've given your life to Christ. He doesn't hate you. It all was poured out on Jesus. And we need to let that sink into our souls and rest in that. Because, life lesson, radical forgiveness sets us free. Radical forgiveness sets us free. Because of his love for us, demonstrated through the sacrificial death of Jesus, we are set free. We're set free from punishment. We're set free from guilt. We're set free from everything else that accompanies sinning against a holy God. That's what forgiveness is about. We're set free. But I think there's some of us that struggle with that. That Carl Menninger, who's a psychiatrist, once said that if he could convince the patients in psychiatric hospitals, check this out. He said if he could convince the patients in psychiatric hospitals that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them could walk out the next day. What was he saying? He was saying the core issue, the root cause of why they were in that psychiatric ward had to do with not feeling, not knowing, not receiving, not walking in the forgiveness that God has offered us in Christ. It blows me away. Well, what does it mean? Now I want to run through these. The scripture gives us a picture of the forgiveness of God. And God wants us to walk in it, to think in it, to breathe it, to swim in it. What does it mean for our lives here and now and even after we go on to be with the Lord? Well, Psalm 103, verse 3 said, "Who?" And we read Psalm 103, verses 1 through 8 this morning, right? In the beginning of that, Psalm says, praise the Lord, doesn't it? It says, praise the Lord. Said, praise the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not one of his benefits. And his benefits, at the core of his benefits, it's rooted in his forgiveness for us. And he said in verse 3, who forgives all your sins, not some of them, not just the ones that aren't so bad, but the bad, I mean the really bad ones too. That only you and God and me and God know about. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. See, God's forgiveness sets us free from all our wounds, called sin wounds. Not physical diseases, but spiritual. Mental, emotional. You know, sin brings anguish to our hearts and a lack of peace to our minds. I know it does with me. I know when I sin against God and I know it, I know that my mind just ain't right. My heart is not right. And I've been down that road where you commit a sin and you think it's the unpardonable sin. And you just can't shake it. But God takes you back to the cross. And he says, look, he forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. We don't have to keep on bleeding. At the cross, he stopped the bleeding. By his stripes, scripture says, we have been healed. You don't have to keep beating yourself up. He's healed our wounds. Yeah, much of what we deal with has to do with unforgiveness, not walking in it or realizing or believing that we are truly forgiven. But David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. We don't realize we're truly forgiven, and we haven't truly forgiven others. We can be bitter towards ourselves. We can live in a sea of resentment for past sins the rest of our lives. Some people do. We can linger in loathing ourselves for the rest of our lives. Some people do. Instead of by faith believing what God said. Simple. Believe it. Believe it. God said it. And God cannot lie. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Psalm 103, verse 12, he says, as far as the east is from the west, west coast to the east coast, don't meet. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God has moved. He's put some separation. God, he forgives, and God sets us free from the source of our brokenness. We are broken people, and we break other people or try to break other people because of our sin. But what the scripture says is that God does some separating. Sin breaks us. But when we receive the forgiveness of God, he moves us away from that sin. If we let him. Sad part is some people don't want to be moved. We don't have to keep on living in that sin because the Bible says there's separation. We don't have to go to bed with that sin. God says there's separation. And we can take up residence in the bed of righteousness and the love of God when we walk in the forgiveness of God. Psalm 103, verse 10 says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Isn't that a great verse? What are we talking about when we're talking about God's forgiveness? God's forgiveness sets us free from payback. You know what payback is. Yeah, somebody does something to you and you do something back to them. No, God is not like that. Get that wiped out of your brain. God's forgiveness sets us free from payback from God. I don't have to live in fear that God is going to pay me back when I stand before him. Well, why is that? The cross, the precious blood of Jesus. That's why the precious blood of Jesus. God's forgiveness enables us, through Jesus, enables us to experience his mercy. God's mercy means this: he does not treat us as our sins deserve. Sin deserves death. Sin deserves separation from God. But God says, no, I love them. I'm sending my son. And all those who believe will have eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says that God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. God's forgiveness enables us to be reconciled to him. What does that mean? Simply, he brings us into a right relationship with him as sons and daughters. When you believe in Christ, you accept him as Lord and Savior of your life, he brings you into a right relationship with him. It says, you're my son, you're my daughter. We're called children of God. He does not count our sins against them. Have you ever thought about that lately? That God does not have his ledger book writing down, recording your sins. Because of Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, not counting people's sins against them. He does not count our sins against us. We have no record of sin in the bank of heaven. So glad of that. No record of sin in the bank of heaven. Well, you said, well, I thought about that sin. Like, that surely wasn't God. It was not God bringing that to your remembrance. That was either you going back over it, or that was Satan trying to get you to just live there. Scripture says he does not count our sins against us. And that's what we have to live in. He said, it says on my ledger, on yours, if you trusted Christ, debt paid in full. Boom. Paid in full. Bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus. Isaiah 43 and 25 says, I, this is God talking. I am he who blots out your transgressions. Blots them out. Wipes the slate clean. Why does he do that? For my own sake. And remembers your sins no more. Why? What do you mean his own? What does he mean his own sake? Well, God says, I'm a God of compassion. I'm a God of love. I'm a God of forgiveness. I'm a God who shows kindness and compassion towards people. And he says, for my own sake, for my reputation. I'm basing this on my reputation. It's my reputation that's at stake. I'm blotting out your transgressions. See, as children of God, it's not just your reputation that's on the line, or my reputation, it's God's reputation. God's forgiveness means he doesn't see our sins anymore. I think this is hard for us to wrap our minds around. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around this, but it's true. I mean, what can we say? It's in Scripture. And the Word of God is true. He does not see our sins anymore. He doesn't keep looking at our sins. We do. We might keep going back. Satan might take us back. He brings it up. Other people might bring it up. Throw it in your face. But that's not God. We got to get our picture of God, our perception of God, our understanding of God has to come from the Word of God. And the Word of God says, I am he who blots out your transgressions. I take my holy eraser and I wipe them out. And I do that for my own sake. Because I'm a God of love and compassion, and I'm pouring that out on you. God doesn't keep looking at your sins, and when Satan is throwing that up and you're thinking about that, you got to go back to the Word of God. He doesn't keep looking at our sins. Scripture says he throws them into the sea of forgetfulness, and some of us say, well, I thought God, how can God forget? I don't know. I just know that's what he said. I just know he said he doesn't keep bringing them up. I just know in Isaiah 38:17, he says, I put them behind my back. Read it sometime. 38:17. I put him. He was talking to Hezekiah. And you know the story of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah, God told Hezekiah, get your house in order, man. Because you gonna die. And he said, I'm the God who puts your sins behind me. Put them in my back. Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, the story is told about Martin Luther in a dream. He found himself being attacked by Satan. The devil unrolled a long scroll containing a list of Luther's sins. And he held it before him. And on reaching the end of the scroll, Luther asked, is that all? No, came the reply. And he took out a second scroll, unrolled it, put it in his face. And then after a second scroll came a third scroll. But then the devil had no more scrolls. And then Luther said, you've forgotten something. Luther exclaimed triumphantly. He said, quickly, look, devil, write on each of them. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. From all sin. Satan, throw your scroll up before you. The blood of Jesus Christ. He brings up that second one. The blood of Jesus Christ. Brings up that third, fourth, fifth, sixth, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. We got to go back to the source of forgiveness, the blood of Jesus Christ. Psalm 103, verse 5 tells us that God's forgiveness means we get a do-over. We get a do-over. He gives us a fresh start. We can start over. We can start over. In Hebrews 10, 1 through 18, I don't have time to read it. Please go back some time and read it. Hebrews 10, 1 through 18 says, God's forgiveness in Christ perfects us. It cleanses our minds, washes our minds and our hearts, and releases us from guilt. You know, guilt is a killer. Guilt is a killer. But that's what chapter 10 of Hebrews is about. He said, look, the blood of goats and bulls, God the Father wasn't satisfied with that. He's not satisfied with the blood of animals. Those were all a precursor to the coming of the King, the one who would sacrifice his life. And he says, that is what God the Father is satisfied with. And you have perfection. Cleansing, release from guilt. Let me say a few things and get on out of here. God does not expect you to pay him back for his forgiveness. In fact, based on the truth of the word, the conclusion that we must come to is that we cannot pay God back. Have you come to that conclusion in your life? That you cannot pay God back. You ain't good enough regardless of how good you think you are. You ain't all that good. Let me tell you. That in itself, that thinking in itself is an affront to God who sent God the Son. Because it says, if I'm trying to pay God back, it's saying, God, what you doing, what you did, it ain't measuring up, God. It's not good enough for me. Any attempt to pay God back through whatever we are trying to do or by living a good life according to our standards is a nullification of the sacrifice of Christ. And the scripture says we do not, what? We do not nullify the cross. 2nd thing, you can't buy God's love and you can't buy his forgiveness. And you can't bargain with God for forgiveness. 2nd thing here, God does not expect us to do penance for his forgiveness. He doesn't expect us to do penance. And again, penance is something that we do. Penance is going through some sort of religious act of repentance or experiencing some form of punishment in order to be or feel forgiven by God. You know, I can speak to this a bit because I was raised up until I gave my life to Christ in the Catholic Church. I was an altar boy, the whole nine yards. And I tell people, I even thought I wanted to be a priest. But that was short-lived. Especially when I found out, as I shared it, that priests didn't get married. So I said, that's not God's call on my life, not that way. But, you know, as a Catholic, we were taught that you had to go to confession to a priest to receive absolution for your sin. Ain't so. It's not true. You can go straight to God. Jesus, scripture tells us, again in Hebrews, scripture tells us that Jesus is the high priest. And there's no mediator between God and man except Jesus Christ. So we go to him. You go to him. God don't expect you to do penance. Your penance isn't good enough. You can't say 5 Hail Marys and 2 Our Fathers and expect God to forgive you. No, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. God doesn't expect that from you. He doesn't expect even here in this congregation or any kind of congregation, whatever good things you're trying to do to try to pay God back again, God says no. It's through the precious blood of Jesus. Well, God does expect something from us. God expects us to live in the freedom of his forgiveness. That's simply what he expects, church, is for us to live there, to think there, and to really live as a forgiven people. God expects us to live just as if we had not sinned. That's kind of hard for us, isn't it? That doesn't mean receiving God's forgiveness doesn't mean that we're going to forget it. I remember. But the heartache, the resentment, the pain that I know I feel like I put on God, that's wiped away. And God wants me, and God wants you to live apart from that, separated from that. Why is that? Because he treats us just as if we had not sinned. The question is, are we living? Are we thinking in that way? And consequently, living in that way. God expects us to live in the freedom of his forgiveness. By way of transition into really our message for next time is this, that we can forgive and love others only to the degree that you and I can or have experienced the forgiveness and love of God in our own lives. I don't think we can forgive others. The scripture tells us we can't forgive others. We can't extend the love of God towards others any further than we have received the love of God towards us. And I read Luke 7, verses 40 and following. through that. And I ask again this week, you know the story, Simon and that woman, that sinner woman. And Jesus told Simon, because Simon turned up his nose at Jesus, because this one, he allowed this woman to come and wipe his feet, cry tears on his feet. And God told Simon, he said, Simon, you did nothing for me. You did nothing to show your love for me, nothing to show your gratitude towards me. But then he said, Simon, this woman was able to demonstrate much love towards me because she was forgiven much. She recognized her sinfulness. She repented and recognized Jesus as the forgiver of her many sins. Jesus says she just demonstrated faith in him. She came to him, cried those tears, wiped his feet, and accepted his forgiveness of her. And I ask the question again, who do you identify with in that story? Simon, the Pharisee, who was forgiven little and loved little, or the woman with much sin, who was forgiven much and loved much? I say this along with that, that lastly, that radical forgiveness requires radical repentance. Radical repentance. God does expect us to repent of our sin. The Bible tells us that we were forgiven when Christ died for us on the cross. But it's not realized. It's not actualized unless we repent. God expects us to repent of our sin. He expects us to agree with him. And that's what repentance is. Repentance is agreeing with God that we have sinned. And he expects us to accept the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ as the only means for our forgiveness. Lord, there's nothing into my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Nothing I can do, Lord. We can do nothing to earn our forgiveness. We can do nothing to make ourselves right with God. Saying I'm sorry does not make God forgive you. Admitting that you are a sinner, and believing that the only way to be forgiven of my sin is that Jesus died for my sins, and accepting him as Lord and Savior is what enables us to experience the forgiveness of God. God's love is not earned. God's forgiveness is not earned. Jesus earned that forgiveness for us. Won't you bow with me? Maybe you're here today. Maybe you need to do business with God. And receive his forgiveness. Maybe you know that you accepted Christ. You accepted his offer of forgiveness. But maybe there's something you need to admit to him. Take before his throne of grace and agree with him that you've sinned against him. And you can do that. And he'll wash you clean. He'll set you free. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior. You've never truly accepted him as Lord and Savior of your life. You've never admitted that you are a sinner. And you've never really accepted his offer of forgiveness. You can say, Lord, I believe that you came to this earth, Jesus, to die for me. And I accept your offer of forgiveness for my many sins. Thank you for accepting me as your son, as your daughter. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Maybe you're here today and one of those prayers was yours. you accepted Christ for the first time, you can come. Say, I give my life to Jesus. I accept his offer of forgiveness as Lord and Savior of my life. Maybe you're without a church home and you know Christ, but you know he's calling you to make a commitment. You can come and give yourself to him. Say, Lord, I accept. I accept. Won't you come, man, woman, boy, or girl? You can come. Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today. Won't you stand with me? Won't you stand with me? Peace as we leave this place. May he give us joy. And to him alone, be all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise, both now and forevermore. Let the Church of Jesus Christ together sing.
Amen.